This program is part of Full Service Radio, an internet radio station and podcast network with over 32 weekly shows broadcasting from the lobby of the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. All of our hosts are Washington, D.C. locals, covering stuff like music, arts, culture, identity, politics, and so much more. Visit fullserviceradio.org for all of our programming and enjoy the show. And Full Service Radio is proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit simplecast.com.
Good morning, or good afternoon almost. I'm Kiko, and this is Lunch Agenda on Full Service Radio at the Line Hotel in D.C. My big discovery at the Line Hotel this morning, by the way, is sorghum syrup at the coffee bar. Amazing. Huge treat. That's going to become my Monday routine. So each week at noon, I spend lunch break with advocates, doctors, parents, policymakers, and more to hear their agenda for the food system. And I ask each guest for one action that the listener, you all, can take to change things for the better with the food system. You can see pics of the show at Kiko Buff on Instagram and find links related to today's episode on my website, kikosfoodnews.com. Our first lunch agenda series, Groceries for All is what I'm calling it, explores why in our nation's capital, good food still can't be taken for granted. On Saturday, October 14th of this past fall, hundreds of people across the city joined the grocery walk. We walked to downtown Anacostia from the nearest grocery store, which is a Giant Foods over 2 miles away from there, and we ended at a rally calling for city investment in access to healthy food for every resident. Here's how we sounded getting ready to march that morning.
All these people want store. Corn, ain't dessert, store. All these people want store. Corn, ain't dessert, store.
If you couldn't make it, I've brought the march here into the studio. For the first part of my Groceries for All series, I've invited Dominique Hazard, who was the organizer of the march, and it was a collaborative organizational effort, of course, into the studio today. So we'll hear from Dominique, but first I just want to begin with Kiko's Food News, which is a weekly briefing of headlines that I find really interesting for everyone, not only those people who work in the food world, to stay connected to all of the different intersections with food and life in 2018. I was all ready to go with my headlines for this week, and then I felt like a real journalist this morning because I had to throw out everything I planned to talk about when I heard a couple interesting news headlines this morning that I want to share. The first is that Trump is addressing the American Farm Bureau today, which is the first time a sitting president has done this in a quarter century. So very interesting. As you might imagine, this is a pretty loyal audience. But what I find most newsworthy about it is the fact that he's planning apparently to use the farmer audience as a chance to talk about rural issues in America more broadly. So he's going to be talking about the opioid epidemic. He's going to be talking about lack of access to capital in rural areas. And he's going to be talking about internet connectivity. I heard an interview with Sonny Perdue, who's his Secretary of Agriculture, where Sonny was saying that, you know, internet connectivity he sees as the biggest opportunity for boosting economic livelihood in rural areas in America. He cited that 37% of people in rural America don't have internet access, which I find so hard to believe, but I have my own perspective. So that'll be interesting to see, you know, what he says. I know that all ears are going to be on trade, whether or not the USA will continue to be involved with NAFTA is obviously on the table, and for farmers, those trade channels are so important. The other headline I wanted to raise today was one that Allison Aubrey covered on NPR. She talked about a new resource that the National Institute of Health has just launched, which is an alcoholism surveying tool and resource guide. The news began with the statement that alcohol consumption is on the rise in America among women, minorities, and older adults. Despite more broad trends around health, I found that itself an interesting statistic. But I just think that the main message behind this new resource is that alcoholism isn't black and white. That kind of is a concept that, you know, maybe was more the mainstream understanding about a century ago or 50 years ago, but that there are so many different levels of people's challenges with this substance abuse problem. And so the first step is this survey that asks questions such as, have you tried to stop drinking recently and were you not able to? Just trying to give people a more in-depth and, you know, useful, ultimately, understanding of this issue. So those are the two Kiko's Food News headlines for today. And at this point, I'm going to introduce our illustrious guest and my first guest on Lunch Agenda.
Honored.
For real. So good morning, Dominique.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you today?
I'm well. I'm just going to quickly introduce you officially. So Dominique Hazard is the Community Engagement Specialist at DC Greens, which is an organization that advances food justice in the nation's capital. If you work in food access in DC, you know about DC Greens and their leadership. At DC Greens, she coordinates outreach for the city's Produce Plus program and supports community advocacy efforts. Dominique is also, and I'm going to be asking her about this, a proud Anacostia resident, an organizer with the DC chapter of Black Youth Project 100, and a pre-doctoral fellow in history at Johns Hopkins University. So welcome again.
Thanks.
And since I guess it is already lunchtime, what are you having for lunch today? What are your go-to weekday lunches?
Oh, my goodness. Today I'm having some Chinese food leftovers. From the Lincoln.
Nice. Where did you go for Chinese? I'm always on the prowl for the best spots.
You know what? I don't know what it's called, but it's very far away from me, and I order it on Uber Eats, which has been an exciting development because not a lot of places deliver.
I know. We are not in New York. And so, maybe specifically in Anacostia,
yeah,
too.
So it's really expanded my options. So I'm excited about that, and I will be enjoying my leftovers today.
Nice. I consider myself a leftover queen, leftover aficionado, so I approve. Have you already been an activist this year, Dominique? I know that's kind of a key part of your personality. We are about 8 days into 2018, and I'm just curious what you would say has been any activist moments you've had so far.
I'm not sure I can think of something so far. This afternoon, I'm going to be at the Anacostia Metro with BLM DC, and they have a campaign about the Metro cards. As a lot of people may know, today is the first day you can't get on if getting on the bus is going to put your card into the negative. So they're actually giving away free cards and free swipes, you know, trying to be a preventative measure, just anticipating this will lead to an increase in the amount of people who have encounters with law enforcement around around fares and the WMATA system. So that's something that's happening this afternoon.
Wow.
Yeah.
I did not know. I bike everywhere, so that's really interesting.
Yeah.
So I met Dominique when we attended a conference in Atlanta, and today I'm planning to ask about her planning for the first march I had ever heard of for groceries. And I think, you know, what we'll hear is that it wasn't just simply a march for grocery stores. It was a lot more. Then, like every guest that I invite onto Lunch Agenda, I'll ask her for one action item that you all, the listeners, can take to change our food system for the better. So here's an audio clip of Dominique that day in October, because I have a feeling that it's just not possible to get as jazzed as she was that day here in the studio. So this is how she sounded on the megaphone.
Food justice is more than bringing stores here. Food justice is making sure that every single person in this city has access to fresh food. Yes. I'll say it again. Every single person in this city having access to fresh food. And so when I look out and I see all of y'all, hundreds of people who will come out to Anacostia today, I know that this is a pivotal moment for food justice in that city. I see activists, right? Yes, yeah, shout out to the activists, shout out to the organizers. I see city council members. I see people from the mayor's office, farmers, teachers. I see business owners, and I see hundreds and hundreds of people who believe that everyone should have access to healthy food and who are ready to raise their voice to make sure that happens. The city has made a lot of progress and investments in food over the last few years, but there's still more work to do. And to do it, we have to make sure that we treat healthy food access like what it is, which is a basic human right.
How is it listening to yourself from your 2017 life?
I think I already lost my voice from all the chanting.
Were you not able to talk the next day?
No, yeah, it was a whisper the next day.
Yeah. That's like when you're sore after running like a really long distance. It's a good it's a good pain.
It's good.
Yeah. You put it all on the field that day.
Yes.
Why did you throw yourself into this march?
Sure. So we decided to plan this action because we felt it was time to do something really big, really drastic to amplify the grocery gap, but also food injustice in general as an issue here in D.C. And what I had been kind of hearing, I've been with D.C. Greens for almost 3 years now, and that entire time there's been so much energy around this issue, and I mean that everywhere from, you know, kind of grass tops community meetings like the World Health Council to even just being, you know, in the Safeway, in the grocery store, hearing the grumbles. I know this is an issue everybody cares about, but when talking to decision makers and talking to people at these meetings, people were saying, you know, you all need to be louder. We're not, you know, feeling from our places of power that this is a priority issue for DC, but I know it is. So that's why we decided to do the walk, to really create an opportunity for everyday people to come out and show that access to healthy food is important to them.
Yeah, and it did feel like such a mixing pot of DC. It was kids, it was, you know, gray-haired people who were able to walk the 2 miles. It was people who were wearing the shirts from their nonprofit, the food bank, Martha's Table, DC Green. So many were there. And then it was people who, you know, live the life every day. And so you mentioned you're a proud Anacostia resident. You hear things in line at the grocery store. Can you just tell one or two things that you've heard? Like, what's particularly challenging about the current situation?
Yeah, one or two things. I would say one is even before getting to the grocery store, I think of some of the people I have opportunities to work with through our community advocates program. Like one of our advocates' name is Tony. She's, oh my gosh, she's in her 70s. she's definitely a senior citizen. And she probably has
a lot to say then.
Yeah, she has a lot to say. And it's just difficult for her to even get to the grocery store. She has to catch two different buses to get there. And so, you know, she talks about that all the time. And then I think as some people might be familiar with, there's all of the grocery stores that do exist east of the river, which there's, you know, one in Ward 8, there's two in Ward 7, aren't always the best quality. So that's been one of the big areas of feedback I hear. Another one of our advocates that I have the pleasure of working with, Miss Beatrice, you know, she will tell you all about it and how she'll go into her local grocery store looking for basic items and they're out, or the meat, you know, she doesn't feel like it's quality, and she travels around the city, and so she knows that she's not getting the same thing in her grocery store that perhaps someone, you know, here in Adams Morgan or DuPont Circle is getting in their grocery store. And then it's just when you're actually in the store, I live in Anacostia, so sometimes I go to Safeway, sometimes I go to Giant, but the lines are long. They're just really long. So that's the number one grumble I hear is, you know, I'm standing in line. There's a few cash registers open. There's dozens of people, and everyone's like, you know, what is this? And I connect that right back to there just simply not being enough food access points to meet the demand.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen that very starkly with my eyes, how long those lines are, and waited in them. And that takes double as much time for you trying to get the basic things done in your life. Mm-hmm. And who were you surprised to see at the march? Was there anyone that you didn't expect to be there? Or?
Surprise, good question. Surprised to see. I can't think of anybody I was surprised. I mean, I was happy to see. What I didn't expect was that people would just be joining the walk.
like salmon in a river, just going with the tide.
Yeah, we saw one woman who pulled over her car. She leaned out. She asked people what was happening. They told her what the walk was about. And she was like, yeah, she pulled over to her car and joined the walk. So that was a very nice surprise. Yeah. To see that this is an issue that is so widely and deeply felt that somebody would take action, you know, spontaneously.
Right.
In that way.
Right. Amazing. One of the people that I talked to there was my former Capital Area Food Bank colleague Tyrell Holcomb. Mm-hmm. He's a native of Ward 7, and he was talking about why he was there. I actually caught him on audio too, so we can hear him now.
Mm-hmm. I grew up in Ward 7, and my mom was a single mom raising four boys all on her own. And she was a diabetic. She had four boys and she had to look out for, and at the same time she had health disparities herself. And so I'm here today because that's in my bloodline now. And so if I'm prone to it, my children more than likely will be prone to it based on how I eat and the access that I have. And so I have to ensure that we have access to what it is that we need to have access to. And so that's why I'm here today.
So here, I mean, to see Tyrell, you see this strong young man. He's an ANC representative. And yet he has this weakness, or, you know, not a weakness, but what would you even refer to it as? He has a sensitive point that he mm-hmm. has to pay attention to based on, you know, where he was born or mm-hmm. The health conditions of his family due to something that is out of their control due to access to healthy food.
That's a huge problem and a big part of why we at DC Greens do this work, because we know there's the grocery gap. We also know there's huge gaps in terms of health outcomes among different neighborhoods in D.C. If you live in Ward 8, you're five times more likely to die of diabetes than somebody who lives in Ward 2. And I think that we don't always connect those things together. People know about the health, they know about the grocery gap, but these things are very deeply connected. If you don't have geographic access to healthy food, and if you don't have economic access to healthy food, that is directly related to health outcomes of our people here in D.C.
Yeah, I mean, we had stats that I relied on all the time when I advocated for the Capital Area Food Bank about how many of the people we serve have diabetes versus the average population, how many of the people we serve have heart disease versus the average population. It's unavoidable disparity. And over the course of Lunch Agenda this winter and spring, I'll have on doctors and others to talk about that link, because it is becoming more and more front and center, which mm-hmm. is great. We're going to take a quick break, and then I'll be back to ask Dominique more about the aftermath of the march and what's to come. So just stay tuned.
The break song here is by Flash Frequency. It's called Sunset Lane from the record Oscillation Sensation. Again, flashfrequency.bandcamp.com. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Lunch Agenda. This is Kiko, and I'm here with Dominique Hazard, and we're talking about the grocery march that happened in Southeast DC this fall. How did you feel, Dominique, that day? Like, what emotions were most prominent for you?
I felt, one, just euphoric. Like, it was just amazing to see. I mean, we had over 400 people out. We had, like I said in my clip, there really were all different types of people. We had half of the city council came out. So that was, I think it was just a critical, pivotal moment. This was the first time in recent memory that the DC food movement has done something like this, an action in this manner. So that was amazing. And then I just felt urgency, because there were so many people out, because we know that it's this is not an issue we can wait on. It's impacting people's lives every day, and so I felt just excitement to really harness all of that energy that I saw that day.
Yeah, and I like your use of the word urgency, because it's almost like it takes a lot to get this many people talking this loud. What are we going to do now? Like, right. what's going to be the effect? And that's something that I'm going to ask you about next. But yeah, I mean, the emotions for me were, first of all, I felt almost like it was a homecoming, or like a coming out of we food access advocates. It just looking around and seeing all these faces that care the same way and are spending their weekend marching was it felt almost like a hug to validate the work that you do day to day, that not probably. There was a really powerful spoken word poet there. There were a couple, and I'm just going to play a clip of one of them that just really went for food corporations and food marketing and the detrimental impact of those, that I thought the listeners would enjoy.
Food is a weapon, and war is being waged on us. Nowadays, they got the cancer custom made for us. Corporations selling death, they call it fast food. Them double burgers, bloody murder, that's a fast move. On a commercial, got your hero looking mad cool. He flashed a smile the whole while promoting bad food. Cause from the plant, that's where you get your minerals, and you intelligent enough to grow your own food. All you need to human up, stand on your own too. We live in crazy. Dr. Sabi had to die, fool.
Yeah.
I love that guy.
Who is that guy?
You know, I don't know his name, but I've seen him perform several times, and he's with Green Scheme.
Okay.
Which is, you know, organization doing really great work with young people and urban agriculture here in the city.
It's Ronnie, right, who runs Green
yes.
Scheme?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I want to get them on the show too. So what was the effect that you have found with DC government of the march?
Sure. I think the main impact has been really raising the visibility of this issue. A couple days after the walk, we saw the mayor's office released an announcement detailing some of the investments that they're making in grocery store access east of the river, which is very exciting. This year in 2018, in part due to those investments, we can expect to see one new grocery store in Ward 8 over in Bellevue, and another grocery store on Ward 7 on Pennsylvania Avenue. So that's very exciting, and I think it really opened up a lot of communication, honestly, between advocates and people in the executive branch and the legislative branch, people who really have the power to make some of these decisions. And what I hope is that, you know, we'll keep seeing that type of amplification of the issue. I want to see it, like, this is an election year. I want to see it in everybody's, what's it called? Platforms. Yes. I want to see it in everyone's platforms, because when people run, you know, you know the issues that people are going to have platforms for. Everybody's going to have an education platform, a safety platform, a housing platform. And so I hope that we'll see food platforms and see people in power really recognizing that this is a priority issue for the people of D.C.
Heck yeah. Not only D.C., but next presidential election, I'll say it again, we want a plate of the union, like a state of the union. But yeah, food needs to be a key platform issue. I love that. And who really needs to listen to this call that isn't listening yet?
Ooh, isn't listening.
Zing.
Oh, I think, I don't know. I think a lot of people are listening that perhaps weren't listening before the grocery walk. Like I said, it was a big moment, and the first time we did something like that. So I hope that everyone is listening now, from people in the mayor's office, all the city council people, people in various administrations, because of course food is touching on so many things. It's touching on environment and workforce development and community development and just all different parts.
Rural issues.
Yeah, it's a cut issue that cuts across so much of the work that the government is doing, that various advocates are doing. So I hope everyone's listening now.
I have too many questions to ask you and not enough time. What is on DC Greens' 2018 agenda in this realm?
Yes, absolutely. We have a lot in our agenda. It's going to be a big year. Like I said, we're really trying to harness all of the new energy, all the new activists who are out there, who we've been able to connect with.
Yeah.
And so I think you'll see we work in coalition with so many different organizations. There's a coalition called Fair Food DC. This budget season, we're going to be pushing for significant investments in food. And that is for grocery stores, but it's also for nutrition education. It's also for workforce development. It's meals for seniors and people who are chronically ill. It's joyful food markets in our schools. It's all these programs. So we're going to be working together and really pushing for significant, money to be put towards this. And hopefully, eventually, the establishment of a food fund, so that we know every year that the city is putting money towards food.
Yep. So we'll all have our eyes on the budget cycle.
Yes.
Okay, I've got to just go right to your action item. What is the one thing a listener can do in their day-to-day life to make things better?
The one thing I would like you to do is to sign up for our advocacy list. You can sign up for that at bit.ly/DC Food Justice Advocacy. And if you follow what we send out on there, you can get plugged in not only to the work that we're doing at DC Greens, but again, the work that so many different organizations and advocates are doing in the city. So you can come out to future actions. You can come out and testify. You can get connected. If you want to do some stuff yourself, you want to grow your own food, if you want to start a food business, anything you want to do to advance food justice in DC, we can help you connect to that person or that organization. So go ahead and sign for our list, bit.ly/DC Food Justice Advocacy.
Do you read the signups? Are you going to be getting back to them yourself to all of the listeners who want to sign up?
We will email you. You can call me. You can call me.
Hey,
you can. 202-601-9200.
Whoa.
Yes, you can call me. We will get back to you.
This is a real communication channel.
This is real. We really want to get everyone who cares about this issue connected and involved in whatever way you want to help us do this work of building food justice movement in DC.
Thank you. So you can follow Dominique on Twitter. She's got a cool handle, which is Hazardeuse. Yeah. How would you pronounce it?
That's right, Hazardeuse.
Hazardeuse. Watch out. For pictures of today's interview, check out my Instagram, which is Kiko Buff, KIKOBUFF. And if you share this podcast anywhere, social media, please include #LunchAgenda. Today's episode is edited by Jack Inslee for Full Service Radio at the Line Hotel. We'll see you next week.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter @FullServiceRDO. on Instagram and Facebook at Full Service Radio. Thanks for listening.